From the studios of WXXI, this is Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres. This year marks double bassist James Vandermark's 40th year as a professor at the Eastman School of Music. Generations of double bassists have left his studio to become soloists, orchestral players, teachers, even doctors. Today on Backstage Pass, we look back on his career at the school through the words and music of his students, with commentary from James Vandermark, too. Celebrating four decades of prime pedagogy next on WXXI. Welcome to Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres. The New York Times once said that there are only a handful of double bass virtuosos, and we are able to count one of those as our guest today, James Vandermark. Welcome to Backstage Pass again, because you've been here before.
Thank you so much, Julia.
You are joined here in a room full of students at various levels, and we're going to meet them all. And we're all going to talk about 40 years. 40 years, four decades. How did that happen?
I have no idea. Absolutely frightening.
But here you are, and here they are. Our first student that we're actually going to meet, and we'll be hearing him play in a moment, is Tyrone Allen. Tyrone, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So where are you from, Tyrone?
I'm from Temple Hills, Maryland, just south of D.C.
So what brought you to the Eastman School of Music?
Well, I went to the jazz camp here the summer after my junior year of high school. And in the subsequent summer, I also went to the bass convention here. That's where I met Professor Vandermark. And between the jazz program and classical program, I figured it was a really great place for me to come.
Well, you could have had, I'm sure, your pick of schools that you could have gone to, right? You must have had several other schools. Don't roll your eyes at me, young man.
There were a few other schools I was considering, but this definitely was the one. This was the one I was thinking I might not get into, but I would love to come here. So kind of just worked out that way.
Sometimes wishes come true. So you are a graduating senior. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you're a double major, jazz and classical. So I ask both you and James, what does that mean when you're a double major in jazz and classical?
It means just about all of the classes that the classical major, only a few classes that the classical majors take, I did not have to take. But otherwise, I took all of the rest of the classical major classes and all of the jazz classes. And all of the ensemble credits.
So this is double duty, James.
Right. Well, it's, you know, twice the education, twice the torment, and twice the fun, of course. But I think one of the highlights of it is that the students in that program study both with myself and with our esteemed jazz-based professor, who's also one of my students, Jeff Campbell. And so it's a kind of wonderful round-robin and exchange of ideas in a very creative way. And it's been enormous fun to have those students who do that, like Tyrone, in the program.
So what was it about Tyrone when he auditioned? What was it about him?
Well, in many ways, it's the same thing about all of the talented students that are surrounding you this afternoon. And it's talent, potential, promise, dedication, and also, I think, sensing what the chemistry might be. And Tyrone doesn't know this, but I came away from that thinking, we're going to have a really great time working together. And it's always exciting for me after auditioning anybody to say, in a few years, this is going to be really tremendous. And I felt that right away with Tyrone.
And in a few years, has it been really tremendous?
It has been, absolutely.
So where are you going next, Tyrone?
I'm going to the Global Jazz program at Berklee College of Music in Boston next year. It's a one-year master's program.
To study with?
John Patitucci.
He's no good. Is that mind-blowing to you, Tyrone, when you think about where you were, let's say, 10 years ago, to know that in 6 months you're going to be studying with one of jazz's finest bass players?
Yes. I try not to even think about it like that because it kind of, it's pretty crazy. It's just too crazy for me to conceptualize in that way. I just kind of try and take it day to day and hope. I have questions ready for him when I next time I see him. And yeah, it's I can't really believe it. So if that answers your question.
It does. What was your vision when you started this double bass thing? How old were you?
About 13, 14. I wanted to play in the jazz band at my high school, but I'd only played electric bass. And the band director at my school said, well, you have to play upright, and you should play upright in the orchestras also. He kind of coaxed me into getting into all of it, but like it worked out.
Apparently it has. So congratulations on your successes. Let us hear you play. We're going to be listening now to Tyrone Allen. He'll be joined by the pianist Julian Garvu with a nice version of It Might As Well Be Spring, that Rodgers and Hammerstein standard. You're listening to Backstage Pass as we celebrate the studio and the man himself, James Vandermark, on WXXI.
Thank you.
The double bassist Tyrone Allen with Julian Garvey playing piano for Rodgers and Hammerstein. It might as well be spring. As we celebrate double basses today and our salute to James Vandermark, 40 years at the Eastman School of Music. So tell me, James, when you got to, why did you choose the Eastman School of Music to teach at?
Well, they chose me to some extent. I was given the appointment here, offered the appointment here the day that I graduated from college with a BFA. And what was I going to turn down? I mean, my option at the time was to take this, or which the other option could have been interesting. Leonard Rose, who was teaching at the Juilliard School, a great cellist, had accepted me as a student as well. But I thought, gee, I could have a job rather than being in school any longer. And the Eastman School was and is an extraordinary place. And as the Cleveland Quartet was about to join the faculty in that year as well, I thought, this is an opportunity that would be too good to miss. And indeed, I didn't miss that one.
Why did you choose the Eastman School of Music?
It was a school of enormous potential at the time and of quite a considerable history. And with the director of the time, I knew Robert Freeman. I knew that this was a place that was on the way up. It was a school that was ascendant. And I wanted to be part of that ride.
And have you?
I think so. And it's been quite a ride.
So what, when you look at, and we'll talk about this a little bit later on, but when you started teaching, what did you want to give your students?
Really much the same thing that I do now, albeit many other circumstances have changed since I began teaching when many of the students were, in fact, my age, and some were older than I was. But it's much the same thing. It's a level of artistry, technical accomplishment, creativity, and employability. Not necessarily always in that order, but something like that.
You've worked really hard at expanding the repertoire for the double bass with transcriptions and with commissions as well. What does the double bass need? More solo, more concertos?
In a sense, it needs more of everything. But I think one of the things that is so encouraging that's taken place during the years that I've been here has been that the standard of playing has risen so dramatically that it only ensures that all of those things that you mentioned, be it as a solo player, an orchestral player, a chamber music player, a sort of player in new music that we can't describe because it's still evolving, all of that is happening to an enormous extent every day.
So let's take a listen now to another one of your students that have come in to salute you. I'd like to introduce you now to Kelvin Eng, the double bassist. He will be joined by Edith Widiani, and we'll be listening to Brahms' second movement of his cello sonata in E minor. We are saluting double bassist James Vandermark on Backstage Pass live from the Henry Epstein Studio. Thank you. Second movement of Brahms' cello sonata in E minor, but that wasn't a cello. That was double bassist Calvin Eng, whom we'll be talking to in just a little while. And playing the piano with him was Edith Whittiani. This is Backstage Pass as we meet members of James Vandermark's studio and celebrate James' 40 years at the Eastman School of Music. Introducing you now to Isaac Polinsky. Hi, Isaac.
Hi.
You are a graduating senior.
Yes.
And I hear you got the performer certificate.
I did.
Congratulations. Although you got a couple in your studio this year, James.
Right. Calvin, whom you just heard, was also a recipient.
Is that common?
There has never been a year in which two double bassists have received a performer certificate in the same year, ever, at the Eastman School.
Oh, you're doing something right.
Something. Who knows? Or they are. I think they are, actually.
They think they are. So where are you from, Isaac?
I'm from Hewlett in Long Island, New York.
What brought you to the Eastman? Was it specifically James Vandermark?
It was. And that's the theme of today. But yeah, it really was. I remember distinctly having a lesson with him the night before my audition. And I went in, I played the first movement of the Dragonetti Concerto. And I played it, and he gave me a few comments, and I went back to my hotel, worked on it that night, and I came back and had made those changes, and immediately within making those changes, I improved. I sounded better. And once I got in, I thought, hey, this is the one. This is the guy.
You frightened me there. I thought you were going to say you made the changes, and then you ended up in the hospital. But...
You survived the changes.
Right, that's it.
So where are you going next?
I'm going to be moving to Chicago next year to study at DePaul University for a master's degree.
I heard you had multiple full ride offers.
I did, but I again chose the school based upon the teacher, the base teacher.
What were you looking for in a teacher, Isaac? What is it that resonated for you, both with J.B. Vandermark and then with your new teacher, Alex Hanna?
So with Professor Vandermark, I think coming into Eastman, I really was looking for to build a technical foundation on the bass. I think I had a lot of musical ideas that I just wasn't able to execute because I struggled technically on the instrument. Not that I was bad or anything, but
you were not, I assure you. Right.
But yeah, that was sort of the first step for me. And then also, so I could, through getting better at the instrument, kind of figure out what it was that I wanted to do with playing the bass and playing music in general. And so over my 4 years here, I've realized that what I want to do is play in a symphony orchestra. And so Alex Hanna, he's the principal bassist in the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. So by choosing these teachers, I'm just going to the best people in the field and saying, hey, I want to learn from you. So that's kind of my idea behind that.
When you say you assure him that he wasn't bad, obviously, because he got into the Eastman.
Well, that's right.
But what have you seen change in Isaac from the time that he started with you to this moment?
Well, I think, as Isaac mentioned, certainly there's been a considerable development in technical expertise, but also I think one of the things that's been so remarkable is Isaac's improvement and success, really, as a young professional orchestral player, which we've worked on considerably and which he will continue with, and also his, I think, remarkable creative development as a solo player. Isaac's playing is very colorful and it's very imaginative, and I trust him, as I've told him this year, I trust you to fix it. You'll come up with something, and I know he'll always come up with something. And that doesn't always happen, but I always want to entrust people who have the ability to shine with their mix of creativity and impeccable technique.
We are actually going to hear some of that impeccable technique in just a little while here at Backstage Pass, but we turn our ears now to another student. This is Caroline Samuels, and she's going to be playing a work by Francois Rabat called Ibérique Peninsulaire on Backstage Pass. Thank you. That was the Iberique Peninsulaire by Francois Rabat, Caroline Sanders, Samuels, rather, was the double bassist. We are celebrating double bassists, as if you couldn't tell at this point. And we're going to be listening to another double bassist coming up in just a little bit. We'll have next up Isaac Polinsky, or Polinsky rather. But right now we listen and speak to Li Zhu, who has, as the stories of your students go, this is probably one of the really interesting ones. Li Zhu, you were here how long ago to start?
15 years ago.
15 years ago. And then what happened?
Then I got a job. I ran away.
I drove him away.
You drove, and then, and here you are. So you had this great career in Asia. You're so modest about it, but you've had this incredible career in Asia as principal bassist, as a leading soloist throughout Asia. And then you came back after 15 years of having a terrific career. Why did you need to come back and finish your master's?
Actually, I never thought I would come back, but I come back. The reason is decision of career path change. I was an orchestra player for 13 years, and then I got lucky. I got more and more solo opportunities, so I feel like that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. So so I quit my orchestra job and play more solo, and at the same time I got a teaching job, and this teaching job requires me to finish my master's degree. So that's the reason I come back.
So now you have to get that master's whether you like it or not.
Well, actually, I like it. I did not think I would like it, but when I came back to Eastman, it's really mind-blowing. I never feel I would appreciate the school like this. And the classes and the whole atmosphere of the school is really good.
Has it changed in the 15 years?
I don't think I changed.
How?
Well, I was when I was in my early 20s, all of what I want to do is to make a living, to get an orchestra job. And I would all set for my life, and after more than a decade of orchestra playing, I realize I want to do more.
What do you see different? And I mean, it must have been kind of a surprise to you, James, when Li Zhu wanted to come back.
Well, it was indeed a wonderful surprise because, of course, I remembered Li from 15 years ago being a very talented player. He was here also as a member of the Rochester Philharmonic for a year. And again, even then was a brilliant solo player, but he was offered a position in Singapore or Hong Kong right off the bat?
In Singapore.
And I encouraged him to take it. And you know, fate would have it that, as Li, I think, very correctly described, life changes over the years, and his perception of what he wanted to do changed as well, and that happens for many people. And I feel thrilled that he came back here, and we've had a fantastic time working together, and it's been a thrill for me to work with somebody who is, again, committed, imaginative, and is going to do something with what he's taking back from my studio.
Is it very different working with somebody who's been in the biz for 15 years, like Li, as his teacher, as opposed to, let's say, Caroline, who is just starting out?
That may be more for them to say, whether they hear a different series of jokes or not. But there is There's definitely a little bit of a change. I think probably the biggest differences happen actually within the undergraduate years, probably more for 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds than 20, 21-year-olds, because I think not necessarily that I contribute much to their maturity, but things happen during the first 3 or 4 years of undergraduate years, and I think that there is a level of appreciation and interaction that, you know, once someone is 21, like most everybody in this room is, except maybe me, then it's all for the better, frankly.
And have you enjoyed your return?
Yes, very much.
Congratulations on all of your successes and for what's to come as well. We've been talking to Li Shu, and we will be hearing him play in a little bit on Backstage Pass. But next up, our next performer, we are told by James Vandermark, is a terrific player, as are apparently everybody in this room. And it is Isaac Polinsky. We heard Isaac talk, and now we hear Isaac play. Isaac is joined by cellist Ben Baker, and they will play the first movement of Rossini's Duetto. Thank you. That's the first movement of Rossini's Duetto, and it was played by double bassist Isaac Polinsky and the cellist Ben Baker. This is Backstage Pass, and we are talking to James Vandermark and his students. The next student up was the woman who played that amazing piece of music solo, Caroline Samuels. Well, that was a crazy piece of music. That was fabulous.
Thank you.
So I have to ask you about that bow, because everybody seems to have a normal-sized bow, and you've got this big honking bow that has a huge space between the bar.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What is that?
So that is the German-style bow. For basses, there's two different types of bows. You've got the French bow, which is the standard violin bow, and then the underhand, which is the German style. And that's just what I chose to play. It's a lot more fun than the French bow.
is that what you said? Those might be fighting words for some.
That's
right?
Our story. Actually, there are people who say that that one style is right and the other style is wrong. So
that is true. And to bridge that gap, I play both and I perform on both. So that's not an issue in my studio that I know of.
Caroline just gave you a thumbs up. I just want you to know.
Yeah, not many people can play both types of bows, but this guy can. So
you're a junior this year.
Yes.
And you are from?
I am from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
So what you bring into the studio is a little different from what most players come in. Most players are jazz or classical. You do something a little different. You're kind of bluegrass roots.
Yeah, I do enjoy playing a lot of bluegrass music, folk, Celtic music, a lot of everything. I also play jazz, too.
Is this due to being born and raised in Baton Rouge, where that happens a lot?
Yeah, it has a lot to do with that. My mother plays the hammered dulcimer and the mountain dulcimer. And so as a kid, she would have me playing with her and accompanying her. So that's sort of where that all started.
So what brought you to Rochester? I mean, we all know what brought you to Rochester, but what was it about this gentleman sitting to your left that made you want to come to the Eastman School of Music?
I think a really big part was that the teacher that I was studying with back home, her name is Young Chao Wei, she studied with Professor Vandermark here about 20 years ago, I think, and she really had a big influence on me and suggested that I check this place out. And so I did, and I really liked everything about Eastman, especially Professor Vandermark.
You know, this brings to light a point about those 40 years, that here you are generations down the line now, and your students are sending you their students.
That's right.
That must be a little surreal.
I think surreal is the absolutely correct word to describe it, and yet it's very thrilling to see someone like Young Chao, who's also a fantastic player, and she's been a guest here on Backstage Pass, willing to send one of her own students here. And for me, that's also a great honor.
Having now Caroline as a student, mm-hmm. who is a student of a student, do you see anything of your teachings in what she brought into your studio?
Absolutely.
What do you see?
Well, certainly there's, particularly coming from Young Chao, who is, as I try to make the case for so many of my own individual students, I try not to have all of them come out as cookie-cutter versions of something, including me. And Young Chao is certainly not that. She is very much her own independent and absolutely spectacular artist. And I think Caroline brought in that wonderful spirit of independence as well as a great deal of technical finesse. So I see it clearly.
Now, Caroline, you were actually a jazz major when you applied, but you're doing it all now, right?
Yes, I am. Mainly classical, though.
And there's your journey.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much, Caroline. We are going to be listening now to our last piece of music today, a gentleman that you met a little earlier, Li Xu, who has his double bass. He is joined by pianist Yu Chen Zhao, and they'll be performing Patrick Michel's Tango pour André. This is Backstage Pass. Thank you. Tango Por Andre by Patrick Michel. That was Yuchen Zhao playing the piano, and Li Zhu, our double bassist on Backstage Pass. Our last of our performers is sitting next to James Vandermark as we celebrate Mr. Vandermark's four decades at the Eastman. You heard him play before. We talked to him now, Kelvin Eng. And you are as well a graduating senior?
Yes, I am.
And a performance certificate?
Yes.
Was that a surprise?
It is, like, especially as Professor Vandermark mentioned before, there was no two bassists who can get a PC performance certificate in one single year. So, yes.
You have flown a very long distance to study at the Eastman School of Music.
Yes, I'm from Hong Kong, so... It's about 16-hour flight from Hong Kong to New York. And then I have to take one more flight from New York to Rochester, basically.
So the same question everybody else has been asked. Why would one go 16-plus hours to go to school at the Eastman School of Music?
Studying music is always my dream, even when I was in high school. And I decided to pursue my dreams by taking auditions. And I think it's worth it to be able to study here, because throughout these 4 years, Professor Vandermark and the studio has provided me a lot of opportunities to perform at my best. And Professor inspired me a lot throughout these years.
Where are you going next?
I'm going to Yale, studying at Yale for the master performance.
Oh, so you're not paid for grad school?
Yes, I don't need to pay.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And that's really a wonderful gift that Yale has done for grad students. It really is.
Sure, yes.
Have you had any of the students in this room boxing?
Sure. Most everybody in this room has been to boxing, in fact, many times, actually.
Yeah, I have to first of all say Caroline took a stance, and
right.
and I saw a fist bump from you, Kelvin. You've been boxing?
Yeah.
So what does that do for you?
I just went there for once. I'm sorry.
It's a requirement for graduation, though. You have to go once, right?
Yeah. But I enjoyed the time that I went, especially me and Isaac. After boxing, we actually performed Sing Matthew Passion. That was a 3 hours long performance. So, wow, it was quite a day.
From boxing to Bach. That is the full arc of life, apparently.
Right.
What is with the boxing, JB?
Well, look, I mean, for me, it's kept me, I think, very invigorated and energetic at my rather advanced age here. And it continues to do that. And that's why I'm very engaged in it. Plus, I love the sport. But it's really kind of transformed how I'm able to play and how I'm able to sustain my career in playing, simply because I try to remain in as good shape as possible to, in fact, spar with my 28-year-old Golden Gloves-winning trainer later this afternoon.
You have had amazing successes. Your students have won Grammy Awards. They hold principal seats. Brett Shurtleff is in Buffalo. Some have won great competitions. Some have gone on to med school. You've had at least two doctors.
That's right. Yeah.
When you look at this this group of students that have crossed your path, what do you see as the through line in all of them?
Well, somehow or another, they have endurance because they stuck with me for 4 years. But I think more importantly that it's a relationship that's been built that's individual in every case. And that's why there are great performers, great orchestra players, people whose passions extend beyond music, as in the physicians and the NASA scientists.
I want to thank you very much for bringing in all of these students and thank all of our performers today. You are all extraordinary. And congratulations on 4 decades at the Eastman School of Music.
Thank you very much, Julia.
Our executive producer and director is Gene Fisher. Our audio technician is Andrew Croucher with help from Robert Braden. Our intern is Stephanie Marsh. I'm your producer and host, Julia Figueres. Many thanks and congratulations to James Vandermark and all of these extraordinary musicians from the Eastman School of Music. Backstage Pass is a production of WXXI Public Broadcasting.
This is Classical 91.5 and 90.3.